Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hi there, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And we're pleased to welcome back as our guest the governor of Rhode Island, Gina Raimondo. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Ian. Great to be here.
It's been another busy week in Rhode Island politics, and there's a lot to talk about. Let's start with the race for governor. Matt Brown has announced he's running as a Democrat rather than as an independent. Brown clearly thinks this gives him the best shot of winning. So what do you say to that, Governor Raimondo? Matt Brown says he would do a better job in moving the state forward. Why is he wrong?
You know, I'll just look at where we started and where we are now. So when I took the job, we had just about the highest unemployment rate in the country. And now we have more people working than we have at any time in the past 10 years. You know, step out of your studio here. You see cranes in the sky, development. We're fixing roads and bridges. People are back to work. And all the while, we've done that by being true to progressive values. You know, over 1,500 kids are going to CCRI tuition-free this year. And so, you know, we've raised the minimum wage three times, provided paid sick leave. So, you know, we'll leave it to the people to decide. But I know I don't want to go back to the days of the highest unemployment rate in the country. We're on a good path. We have an awful lot more work to do. As we've said, Ian, I think we're in the third or fourth inning of our economic comeback. So, you know, let's keep playing and let's keep going in this direction.
I've got one more question for you before we go to Scott and Maureen. Warwick Mayor Scott Avedisian was voted in this week as the new CEO of RIPTA. He'd been mayor of Warwick for a really long time, and you recommended him for this new role at RIPTA. It hasn't escaped notice that this puts in place a Democratic leadership in the city of Warwick, the state's second largest city, at a time when you are running for re-election. So is there a political component to how this happened?
Yeah. No, there's not. Scott had said for his own personal reasons that he really wanted to move on. And so that was a decision he made for reasons you have to talk to him about. And when that became clear, I said, I think you'd be terrific for RIPTA. You know, he was chair of the board of RIPTA. He's a terrific manager. He's done a good job in the city of Warwick and cares about public transportation. So after he indicated he didn't want to continue to be mayor, I recommended to the RIPTA board that they take a look at him. And I'm thrilled, by the way. I think he'll be very good.
Let's go to a question from Scott.
I'm just wondering, now that the primary is going to be your biggest focus rather than the general at this point, I'm just wondering, how do you plan to make peace with the teachers union? For instance, I know there's some backwash from the pension overhaul and things, but they are a big part of the Democratic base, people who reliably vote in the primaries. What's your plan?
Yeah, well, you know, I've worked very closely with the teachers since I've been governor. We are, in fact.
Well, wait a minute. You vetoed their evergreen bill.
True.
And why? I still don't understand the politics of that.
So right now we're working hand in glove on the school construction bond. And we work very closely on the Rhode Island Promise program. I have an initiative going around safety in schools. So, you know, look, we're not going to agree on everything. But I've been a strong supporter of teachers. I will say teachers are really demoralized right now, especially after Parkland. I've been doing a lot more listening sessions of teachers. And what they want is to know they're respected and valued. And they know that as a governor, I do respect them and value them and want to give them even more support.
Let's go to a question from Maureen.
In terms of your campaign strategy, both in the primary and in the general election, one of the things that strikes me is the really strong support you seem to have garnered from women. In other words, when you looked at the polls, it was disappointing in terms of independence. But if you look closely at those numbers, they support you by wide margins in terms of approval of what you're doing, in terms of general job approval and likability, as well as, you know, the state going in the right direction. I mean, by very wide margins. So it seems to me that this is going to be a critical constituency, not only for you, but I think what we're going to see is, you know, women have won two special elections. This may be the year of the women in terms of what happens in the legislature as well in the gubernatorial race.
I sure hope so. You know, we need more women in positions of leadership. Today is my governor for a day. And, you know, we have the governor for a day. It's meant to encourage girls and let girls know you can be whatever you want to be if you work hard. We only have six female governors in America. You know, we need more women in positions of leadership. I think a lot of women are fed up. You know, they're fed up that we can't ban military-style weapons. They're fed up that we still have guns in schools. They're fed up that the schools they send their kids to are falling apart. And they're starting to get more engaged, and I think that's a good thing.
To follow up on Maureen's question, how do you build your support among male voters, which has been softer than your support among female voters?
It's all about jobs. I was with a fellow earlier today. He's a builder. And he told me he did not vote for me in the last election. It's funny, when you're a politician, people are very honest. He said, you know, I didn't like you last time. He said, but I got to tell you, since you've been in office, I've had steady work. People will have to decide, do they want to go backwards to the days of no cranes in the sky, deficits as far as the eye can see, and the highest unemployment rate in the country, or they want to stay on the path we're on, which is, you know, we've been cutting taxes, we've been creating jobs, we've been raising wages, and I think we ought to keep going.
Well, let's switch gears and talk about the findings this week by the State Board of Elections against House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello. The speaker acknowledges that he exceeded spending from his PAC. There was a $1,000 limit, and he exceeded that by about $72,000 during his very close state rep reelection race in 2016 when he won reelection by 85 votes. Mattiello says he made a mistake, but he says it's not that significant because he had the money to cover that spending in his personal campaign account. The Board of Elections warned him not to do this again and ordered him to repay the money to his PAC. Governor Raimondo, do you think that was a strong enough punishment for Speaker Mattiello?
Look, what the campaign did wasn't right. It was a serious and troubling mistake. And the Board of Elections, you know, ran a process, and he has acknowledged his mistake. I think the important point here is people need to have confidence in their public leaders. We all need to follow the rules. There's rules. We all need to follow the rules. If you break the rules, then there are consequences. I will say, every year since I've been governor, I have been working to tighten campaign finance laws and ethics laws. I have a bill before the legislature right now to tighten campaign finance laws and to call for random audits. And I hope that they pass it because, again, people deserve to have confidence in public leaders.
So was the punishment appropriate?
You know, I'll leave that to the Board of Elections. But as I said, it's a serious mistake.
I think we should leave it to the voters. I mean, people are talking about the fact that he should resign. I think it's this election in less than 6 months. It's incumbent upon the GOP to turn out this information. And now we can talk about it and the voters can make a decision.
John Marion from Common Cause says there have been cases, less serious cases involving lawmakers and campaign finance, where stiffer penalties have been meted out. Do you think the punishment is appropriate in this case?
What's really remarkable to me is, and I asked the governor, I haven't seen one Democrat, anybody close to Mattiello or that leadership team, not one Democrat say anything untoward about the speaker on this matter. Does that surprise you, Governor?
No, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, I think he enjoys broad support in his chamber.
Scott, on the punishment question, do you think the punishment was appropriate?
Well, I think Maureen's probably right on this. The voters are going to be able to say. The one thing that's odd about Mattiello is having a leader as a Democrat, as we know, who doesn't have a safe district is not the best thing to have as a leader.
All right, we're out of time, so we need to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Governor Gina Raimondo.
Thank you.